Proverbs chapter 3, page 673 in your Schofield. We'll be reading the first six verses, and we'll read these verses responsively. Those familiar verses, verses 5 and 6, are the text verses. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And let's pray. Father, I guess we can't thank you enough for our privilege. It's such a joy to be in this place. I'm sure there are a lot of people who've come, perhaps didn't feel like coming, but they know the reward for having been here, and they make the sacrifice. We thank you for each one here, and we pray that a work will be done in each heart. Bless, we pray, the preaching in our preacher. Help us to give very careful attention now to that which is eternal, thy word, in Jesus' name. Amen.
I was in Tallahassee, Florida, preaching. And I'd always loved Proverbs 3:6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. But I fell in love with it in a special way. I do not recall exactly what the emotion was that caused it. But for several days, well, 2 days, I was there preaching. And I just started quoting Proverbs 3:6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I was on my way to the airport on Wednesday morning, and I kept quoting it. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I was walking down the concourse of the hallway to the gate where I was to board the plane, and I started doing it to cadence, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. And then I began to sing it. When I sing, the angels weep. David puts down his harp, and heaven's flag is flown at half mast till I get through. I started singing, and I just made up a little tune. I was quoting the scripture, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. And then I was doing it for cadence as I walked, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. In all thy ways acknowledge him, in all thy ways acknowledge him, in all thy ways acknowledge him, he shall direct thy paths. Don't forget, my tape is in the hallway after the service tonight. But I actually penned that song, I put a dot here. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. And then I sang it on the airplane. And that song, by the way, a little chorus. It's sung all over America. I wrote it. Had some help with the words. But at least I didn't change them like most of the folks do these days. And I wrote them, the tune to it. And it's being sung as chorus all over the country. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Shut up. And you're a bunch of idiots, that's what you are. But that's the way they do it. It's that way. They use a little clap. across the country. This morning I'm going to preach on that, those 12 words. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. I want to speak this morning on the subject, success is easy. Success is easy. I get irritated every time I go to a bookstore and look at all these success books. All they're talking about is how to make money. That is not success, ladies and gentlemen. That is not success. And all of these things, you know, success-oriented and so forth. If you read this book, you'll make millions. No, if you'll buy that book, the author will make millions. And what they ought to do is simply say, the way if you want to be successful financially, write a book on how to be successful financially. But I've got a book here that deals with success. And I want to talk to you this morning, and it may be more talking than preaching. It may be more preaching than talking. Depends on how you respond. But I want to talk to you on success is easy. Our Heavenly Father, I've come to the place where I've been for almost 40 years, behind the same piece of wood behind which I've preached for these 40 years. And there are many people here who've been here all of these 40 years and heard me preach over and over and over again. But all the sermons of yesterday will not do for today, and all the plans for tomorrow will not do for today. We need feeding this morning. We need help this morning. We need encouragement this morning. And I pray you help me to be all of those things as the Spirit of God uses me as a conduit. In Jesus' name, amen. I was in Iowa preaching. I built my sermon this morning around a little conversation I had in Iowa. He was an older preacher. In fact, he was within a year of my age. He asked if he could see me. And I gave him an appointment. And this older preacher came in, and you could tell the fellow was wearied by the years. Toil had made its marks on him. And he was crying. Before he even started talking, he began to cry. And he said, "Dr. Hiles, I've been a failure in my life." He said, "When I look at you, you and I are about the same age." He said, "When I look at you and see all that God has done through you," and he said, "I compare myself, I feel like such a failure." I'd like to tell you what I told him, almost word for word, just a few little things I'll add. I'd like to tell you what I told him. He said, "Brother Hiles, I pastor a country church. I'm not even in a little town. I'm several miles in a little town, about 500 people. But I'm way out in the country," and he said, "I run about 50 people, and I've been there for years." And he said, "I feel like I've failed in my life." And this is what I said to him. I said, "Sir, I'd like to draw a line in the middle of this room. On this side of that line, I want to put the first six words of Proverbs 3:6, in all thy ways acknowledge him. And as I'm going to put a little wall here, a fence between those six words and the last six words." And I got up out of my chair and actually did what I'm doing to you now. I said, "On this side, I want to put the words, and he shall direct thy paths." So a wall right here and six words over here, "In all thy ways acknowledge him. In all thy ways acknowledge him." And on the other side of the wall, "And he shall direct thy path." Six words over here. Now I said, "My brother," I said, "this side of the wall is man's side. It's our job to acknowledge him." Now I said, "On this side of the wall is God's side. It's his job to direct our path." Now I want you to notice, it didn't say, "He shall direct you." It says, "He shall direct your path." He will make you a path, is what it says. Now, I said, "Sir," I said, "99% of all of man's frustrations, troubles, depressions, and melancholy spirits
come because man, this is man's side over here. It's our job to acknowledge him. It's our job to preach him. It's our job to teach about him. It's our job to witness about him. It's our job to exalt him. It's our job to magnify him. Now that's our part. Now over here on this side, it's God's part, and he shall direct thy path. And I said, sir, here's what causes 99% of all the frustrations and depressions and nervous breakdowns, all the rest of it, of Christian people. We want to get over here on God's side and direct our paths. But I said, that's not our job. It's our job to acknowledge him. Now, you've been out in the country, a little neighborhood in the country for years acknowledging him. I've been downtown at First Baptist Church of Hammond for years acknowledging him. But I said, it's his job. He directed your path to be out in the country. He directed my path to be in the city. But I said, that doesn't mean that I'm greater than you are because of the path he directed. Because I've been doing my part, acknowledging him, and you've been doing your part, acknowledging him. Now, I promise you that 99% of all the problems in this room this morning are caused because you want to get over here and direct your own path and direct your own life. You just get that Sunday school class, and then you acknowledge him and let God direct your life. That's his business. But you want to come over here and direct your life, and you spend more time over here searching out what God has planned than you do over here doing what you're supposed to do. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. I said to him, I said, for example, let's take a young lady waiting to get married. Listen to me now. No talking. I said, let's take a young lady waiting to get married. She thinks how wonderful it's going to be. And over here on this side, she looks at marriage, and she says, boy, it's going to be heaven on earth. You got two words right. I'll wait for you. It's going to be heaven on earth. And, oh, she says, it's going to be wonderful. And then all of a sudden she gets over there and she gets married. And she finds out that his breast smells bad in the morning and his feet smell bad at night. And it doesn't work out like she thought it was going to work out. And then she says, it has to work out like I planned. Quit planning! I say to young ladies all the time, they come to me and say, for the house, my husband isn't what he ought to be. I said, you can't do a single thing. Listen to me now. You can't do a single thing about your husband, but you can do something about you. Now, you get over here on this side of the fence, on the wall, and you don't worry about what kind of husband he is. You worry about what kind of wife you are. And you be what you ought to be, and let God take care of the other side of the fence. Every once in a while, I'll talk, okay, a couple expecting a baby. Ms. Howes and I, 47 years ago, this month. We were expecting our first child. He was born the 5th of this month. And had it all planned. As you know, I've told you this time many times, I built a little nursery in the back bedroom. Little pussy willows and kittens crawling up pussy willows. Paper the wall with that. I built a little bassinet with a pulpit at the end of it so I could preach to Becky and teach the book of Revelation to her after she was born. Had it all planned out, except it didn't work out like we planned. Because in our plans, we didn't make 3 months of the colic. We didn't make the fact that I had to stay awake all night while this house left. Was that the way it was? But anyway, it didn't work out like we planned. I'd get up there to bassinet behind that pulpit, teach her the Bible, and she didn't sort of like deacons at deacon's meeting. And didn't work out that way. See, what your problem is, you're more concerned about how it works out than how you work it in. Now, you get busy doing, I said to this old preacher, you get busy doing, you've been acknowledging him. You've been burying the dead and marrying the young and preaching the word of God and witnessing up and down those country roads. I said, as far as God's concerned, you're as much a success as I am. So, it isn't, your path doesn't make you successful. Acknowledging him makes you successful. Pastor said to me, well, Miles, when you came to Chicago almost 40 years ago, did it ever dawn on you that you'd have 20,000 people in Sunday school? I said, no. Well, did it ever dawn on you that you'd have 10,000? I said, no. Did it ever dawn on you you'd have 5,000? I said, no. Did it ever dawn on you you'd have 2,000? I said, no. Didn't even think about it. Didn't come to Chicago to build a church for 20,000 people. Didn't come to Chicago to build a church of 10 or 5 or 2. Came to Chicago to acknowledge him. It's his job. On this rock, I will build my church. That's over there on his side of the wall. It's my job to stay busy, acknowledge him, exalt him, witness for him, and tell people of him, and preach about him, and teach about him. Now, you listen carefully. The measure of success, as I told this old preacher, is not built on what God leads you to do over here. It's built on you doing what you're supposed to do wherever God leads over there. Acknowledge him. This man right here. John Colston will never pastor a great church. John Colston will never be a great leader. In fact, he's a flop. But John Colston is doing, he's acknowledging him, and God one day said to John Colston, I want you to be assistant associate pastor of First Baptist Church, and I want you to minister to the sick. I want you to preach funerals for those and comfort those who bereave. I want you to stand beside the bed and acknowledge the Savior. I want you to go to hospitals and acknowledge him. Now, John Colston, for these 35 years, has not been behind this pulpit preaching. His name is not on the stationery, but I say he's as great a man as I am because we've both done the things that make greatness, and that is we've acknowledged him. God says, let me make your plans, you young preacher boys. You forget whether you're going to pastor a big church or a little church. You forget whether you're going to be in the city or the country. You forget whether your name is going to be on the station or not. You just get busy acknowledging him and talking about him. And then God direct your path, and you'll be a success no matter where that path leads. I was traveling years ago to the same place. I'll be going tomorrow. God willing, Miss Hiles and I are both going to go tomorrow. We're going down to Pinellas Park. I'm preaching at Dr. Ferris there. That's the church where our son is his choir director now. And we're going to go. She's going to go with me so we can see the grandchildren. Of course, they'll have to see the son too. But we'll do that as little as possible. And we may even have to take a few minutes for the daughter-in-law. I don't know about that. But we're interested in the grandkids. But I was flying down to Pinellas Park years ago. It so happened a fellow beside me on the plane said, where are you going, sir? And I said, I'm going to Pinellas Park, Florida. I had been singing this little chorus. In all thy ways acknowledge, I won't sing it because you'll clap. I've been singing that little chorus. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. And he said, where are you going? And I said, to Pinellas Park. He said, what for? And I said, to acknowledge Jesus. He said, to what? I said, acknowledge Jesus. He said, that's what you've been singing? I said, thank you for calling it singing. First time anybody ever done that. But he said, what do you mean, acknowledge Jesus? I said, I'm going to preach the Bible to some Christian people. We got there, the building, I guess, must have seated 800 people. And because Dr. Jack Hiles was coming, the pastor thought that overflowed the building. Folks just think, you know, put my name out in the front on the little marquee, Hiles is coming, and folks will just flock. Well, 4 or 5 flocked in. He put up, you see, about 800 people. He put up 400 extra chairs in the building. We walked out that night. There wasn't 400 people there. Had 800 seats plus 400 extra chairs. We couldn't even fill the extra chairs. And the pastor was standing beside me, and he said, Dr. Hiles, I know you're disappointed. He was crying. I mean, real tears. And he said, Brother, I know you're disappointed. And I said, what about? He said, the crowd. I thought we'd have 1,200 people here. And he said, we don't even have 400. I know you're disappointed. I said, I'm not disappointed. He said, why? I said, didn't come to preach to 1,200 people. Came to acknowledge Jesus. He said, well, you're not disappointed. I said, no, sir. Bless God. When I was a kid preacher, I didn't think I'd ever preach to 50 people, much less 400 people. I came to acknowledge Jesus. That's one reason why crowds never bother me. If they're down, okay, I get to acknowledge Jesus. My job is to get over here on this side of the wall. It's not my job to plan how many folks come to the service where I preach. It's my job to acknowledge him. And bless God, for 50 years, I've been acknowledging him. And it's his job to tell me where I do it. I'm going to give you several statements. Number one is, God finds someone who acknowledges him. Number two, he plans a path for them. I'm still talking to this older preacher now. I said to him, I said, one, God finds someone who acknowledges him. When he does, he plans a path for him. Thirdly, I am to acknowledge him in the path that he has directed. Fourth, as long as I do so, he keeps preparing a path for me. And by the way, you won't have to search for the will of God too much if you keep acknowledging Jesus. If you keep acknowledging him, it says he will direct your path. But see, what you do is, some of you guys just out of college, you haven't won a soul since you graduated. You're over here on this side and said, oh, help me find my will. You get back over here and get on a bus route, or get out there and knock on doors and get a bunch of people saved and acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. So success is I acknowledging him to the end of that path. It's that simple. That's what success is. Success is getting her on this side of the wall and doing our part, not planning our path. Our job is to acknowledge him. Our job is to teach him, preach him, exalt him, honor him, magnify him, worship him, praise him. And it's his job, and he will. I promise you this, if he'll find somebody who'll acknowledge him, he'll plan a place for them to acknowledge him. So it's as simple as that. That's what the Apostle Paul meant. At the end of the path that God had planned for him. I have finished the course. Show me in the Bible where the Apostle Paul said, I built a large church. So, hear me, success is not just building a large church. Success is acknowledging him all the way through the path that he directs for you. I don't care where it may be, in the jungles of Africa. This morning, for example, I'm standing here preaching to thousands of people. Sometime today, Rick Martin will stand up and preach to 3,000 or 4,000 people in Iloilo, in probably the greatest missionary work I know anything about. But not too many miles down the road in a little country place in the mountains will be Steve Heidenreich preaching. And Steve Heidenreich is back in the boondocks preaching to people that are not the type people live in Iloilo. But way back in the boondocks is a fellow named Lane Jones. And Lane Jones is preaching almost back where people aren't civilized. And then way back in New Guinea, there's a young couple, Dr. and Ms. Evans' daughter and son-in-law, that are back in the jungles of New Guinea with a bunch of savages that hardly wear any clothes, just like the savages in Hollywood, and hardly wear any clothes. Now, say, I'm preaching here to a semi-civilized group. I'm preaching here to a big crowd of city people. Rick Martin is preaching to a smaller crowd of people on a mission field in Iloilo. Steve Heidenreich is out in the jungles and the mountains preaching to a less civilized people. And Lane Jones is way, way out in the boondocks. But all four of us have one thing in common. We are acknowledging him. Am I more successful than they? Not on your life. And I said, this older preacher, older enough in my age, I said, sir, you look at me carefully. I said, you have been as much a success as I have. You spent your life in the path that God has planned for you and directed for you, acknowledging him. And I have spent my life in the plan that God has directed for me, acknowledging him. And I said, as far as God's concerned, it is the acknowledging that makes greatness and not the path that he directs. The Apostle Paul didn't say, I have started many churches. He didn't say, he said, I finished my course. He didn't say, I've pastored a great church. I've done a great work. He said, that's not what matters. Let me tell you this morning, if you've got the least looking job in this church, but brother, if that's the job that God has directed you to, you're as great as the man standing behind this pulpit on this platform today, because you're acknowledging him in the path that he's laid out for you. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is success. Many a faithful pastor thinks he has not been a success because, get this, he's comparing his path with another's path. Success is not how near you come to another's path, but how near you come to your path. And by the way, that puts greatness and success within the reach of everybody. It is not how big my path is and how big your path is. It is, have I acknowledged him so he could direct me to a place where I can acknowledge him?
I told this old preacher. I'm sorry, this middle-aged preacher. I said, I was a kid preacher. I started acknowledging him. I started winning souls. And then he led me, my past, to preach some revivals out in the country. And I said, sir, listen to me, young people, you can laugh later. You listen to me now, I'm preaching to you. I said, if I am a success now, I was just as much a success then. Because I was acknowledging him in the path that he had directed. And I said, a little later on, I started preaching in a tuberculosis sanatorium in Tyler, Texas. And then I started preaching. I got me a place to preach in a little pulpit in the City Park Pavilion in Marshall, Texas. And every Friday night I'd preach out there in that pavilion. Then I went to the jail every week and preached to the jailhouse. Went out to a black church every Wednesday night and preached those dear black people at St. Mary's Baptist Church. And as I acknowledged him in soul winning, he directed my path over here to preach some country revivals. I acknowledged him in those country revivals. He directed my path to TV Sanatorium and then to the jailhouse to preach and then to the City Pavilion to preach, then the black church to preach. And from that black church, I kept on acknowledging him, and I was called to pastor a church. I acknowledged him there, a church with 19 members, but I acknowledged him. And in God's sight, I was as successful then as I am now, because I was acknowledging him in the path that he had directed for me. So I acknowledged him there, and after a while I got called to another church, a little bigger. I acknowledged him there, and I went down to Henderson, Texas for a while. I acknowledged him there. He directed my path to Garland, Texas. I acknowledged him there. We saw a church grow from 44 people to 4,000 people in less than 7 years. From there, God directed my path here. But I want to say again, the success or the failure is not where your path goes. That's his job. You just get busy giving your best to him wherever you are. I'm not successful because of this ministry. If I am, it's because I've acknowledged him on the path he planned. Anyone else who does the same is as successful as I am. So greatness and success is within the reach of everybody. Randy Erickson. Randy is in charge of all these buildings around here. He's in charge of our custodians. Randy's one of the best Christians I know. Randy is as successful as Dr. Jack Hiles is. You know why? Because he is acknowledging his Savior. I know what worries me. What worries me is some of you folks have worked in the same plant for years and never said a good word for Jesus to anybody. That's what bothers me. And by the way, I don't care how big your church is. If you're not acknowledging Jesus, you're a flop. I don't care how big your business is. If you're not acknowledging Jesus, you're a flop. God put you here to acknowledge the Savior. That's your job. Now get over here on this side and acknowledge him wherever you are and let him direct your path and stay off this side. You just follow the path that he's directed. I mentioned Roy Moffitt a while ago. And I think maybe this is why I thought about him during the night. Roy Moffitt. He's not going to ever pastor a large church. In fact, I plan to fire him from his job now. Roy Moffitt's never going to pastor a large church. Roy Moffitt is not a Billy Sunday, but he's as successful as Billy Sunday. Because Roy Moffitt acknowledges, you ain't gonna, that guy can preach at a funeral and get the corpse saved. It's the most amazing thing you ever saw in your life. I preach at a funeral, give an invitation. If I get 1 2-year-old child to raise his hand, I feel like I'm successful. He goes and preaches a funeral, comes back and has 36 saved. I want to give him a karate chop. But look, Roy Moffitt started off as a teenager here in our church, just a young married fella. And he started acknowledging Jesus. That's all. Roy never applied for a job on our staff. Roy never came to me and said, would you hire me? No, sir. He started acknowledging Jesus Christ. And God spoke to me and said, give him a bigger opportunity than that.
Back kind of years ago, we had a fellow here named C.W. Fisk. He and his wife came to visit here one Sunday morning in the old auditorium. And that's been 75 or 30 years ago. It's been probably 39 years ago. They're a young married couple. Brother Fisk didn't like my preaching. But he came back the next Sunday, and I was shocked. And then he got saved that Sunday, and that shocked me even more. And he got baptized. I had heard that he and his wife both had said they did not like my preaching. That's the last time that's ever been said to anybody. And after he got baptized, I met him back in the back, and I said, Mr. Fisk, I'm glad you got saved and baptized. And I said, I heard something I guess wasn't true. I heard you didn't like my preaching. He said, we didn't. I still don't. Well, I said, why did you come back another Sunday? Now, you listen carefully. He said, Brother Hiles, after the service last Sunday morning, you shook my hand back in the back, and you told me something that nobody had ever told me in all my life except my wife. He said, Mr. Fisk, I love you. And he said, Mr. Hiles, Brother Hiles, what your preaching couldn't do, your love did. That's why I came back. By the way, I hired him to be a custodian here. And everybody came here to deliver stuff. He'd witness to him. And he kept on acknowledging him as a custodian. And one day I went to him and said, Brother Fisk, how would you like to be part-time on the staff and part-time custodian? So I put him half-time on the staff and half-time as custodian, and the guy started acknowledging Jesus more. So finally I took the broom away from him, and I said, Mr. Fisk, I want you to be full-time on the staff. And then he became assistant pastor, and later on a pastor, and for years, one of the greatest soul winners in America. Why? He simply started off acknowledging him. Hey, you preacher boys, you quit trying to be a big preacher. You just be Jesus' preacher. You acknowledge him. Get back on your side over here, and he will direct your path. Ray Bordway. I don't know a better man than Ray Bordway. I trust him with anything I have. Ray Bordway was a young teenager here, grew up in this church. He and his wife married after I got here. He's done the job of acknowledging Christ all these years. And God has made him. Here's a guy not even a full-time service for God. The guy works at NIPSCO. I'd rather work at a bar myself. But the guy works at NIPSCO. But he keeps on acknowledging Christ. Best-known songwriter in America. Best-known songwriter in America is Ray Bordway. Now, he didn't come to an answer for the house. I'd like to be the best-known songwriter in the world. He just kept on acknowledging Jesus. That's where he is. I want to ask somebody to stand this morning. He'll be shocked to death. I want Don Mills to stand. Don, you up there? Don Mills here. Where is he? Stand up, Don. Where is he? I don't see him. Where? Oh, there he is. Wave at me, Don. Remain standing. I come down to the church every Sunday morning for years, about 7:45. I don't know how many years that man's been here when I get here. What's he doing? I don't care if it's 100 degrees or 20 below. I don't care if it's clear or cloudy or 20 inches of snow on the ground. He's across the street over there getting his old bus ready to go. What's he doing? Acknowledging Jesus, that's all. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that man right there, all these many years in our church, if anybody ever told him he'd have to be recognized in a sermon, he wouldn't have come that Sunday. He don't want that. Thank you, Don. He just wants to acknowledge his Savior. And as far as God is concerned, the man that stood up there a while ago is just as successful as the man behind this pulpit today. Oh, what's going to happen in the future? Forget it. That's his business. Oh, Brother Hiles, how about this Y2K? All the computers are going to go bad. We talked about last night at the men's staff meeting. I think that's hogwash. Of course, we have our basement full of food. And people ask me everywhere I go, what about this Y2K? I don't know anything about computers. I tried to get Channel 9 on one. I couldn't do it. I don't know what software is. I mean, software to me is a thick wool coat. I don't know what it is. I don't give a flip. I don't like computers. I haven't touched one. I'm not against them. I just don't want them. I'm glad you have them. I don't want one. I'm not going to get one. They'll make popsicles in hell before I'll get one. But everywhere I go, people say, well, the house. What's going to happen January 1st, 2000? What's going to happen January 1st, 2000? Let me tell you what's going to happen January 1st, 2000. Let me tell you what's going to happen. My God will supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I know what's going to happen in 2000 on January 1st. All things work together for good to those who love God, those who are called according to his purpose. I'm just going to keep on preaching, keep on traveling, keep on teaching, keep on witnessing, keep on exalting Jesus. And it's his job to direct my path. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. Let he, now get back on your side and quit, what's going to happen over here? Let him decide what's going to happen and you get back on your side. You've got six words that will keep you busy the rest of your life. There's not a thing you can do about over here. Over the house. Now, I don't care if you want to stock your basement with food. In fact, I hope you will. Miss Howell's not come over to see you on this January 2nd. If you want to put a gas tank in your backyard, go ahead. I'm not against that. If you want to fill your whole swimming pool up with drinking water, I don't care. Go ahead. If you want to get enough blankets to where you could have a whole herd of horses, I don't care what you do. I'm not against that. But I tell you, I got a Bible that says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I said, sir, by this time tears came down his cheeks. He was about my age, about 72, but he looked a lot older than I. In fact, I've noticed that all 72-year-old men look older than I do. Tears came down his cheeks. He took off his coat in the pastor's study with Barron and unloosed his collar and started dancing around the room, having a spell. He said, glory to God, I wouldn't take anything for the last 30 minutes. He said, I walked in here thinking I was a flop and a failure. I'm walking out thinking I'm the next John the Baptist. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. In all thy ways acknowledge him, in all thy ways acknowledge him. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Sing it. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. In all thy ways acknowledge him, in all thy ways acknowledge him, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he. So you folks that are over here on this side this morning trying to figure out tomorrow, you get back on your side of the wall. That's your job. I'm 72. I think 73 comes next. Every time I hear about some, Joe DiMaggio, he's been near death, 84. Oh, Padre, like that ought to die, but good night. I'm just 12 years short of Joe DiMaggio. You start thinking like that. The other day I heard about, well, okay, Brother author's mother. 84. No, 84. Stay out of this. You ruin more sermons of mine that way. How old? I told you to stay out of this, didn't I? 81. That sounds awful old. But it's only about 8 years away for me. You sit by the house. I'm going to close with this, and I'm going to close with something else. I promise you this. I promise you that more laughter goes on at the lady and I, at our house, any house in America. I promise you that. I mean, the other night she woke me up and said, guess what, you've been chosen. I said, what? She said, my best boyfriend of the day tomorrow. I said, boy, what an honor. I'm her best boyfriend of the day. And I did so well, she said the next day, I'm going to let you be another day, too. I'm working on three now. I promise you, we laugh more than any 10 people in the world. You know why? Because we're over here on this side of the wall. Well, brother Hans, who's going to take your place? I ain't going nowhere. But that's not my job. I don't know who's going to take my place. I don't know. But my job is, as long as I've got breath to breathe and a heart that's beating and a tongue that'll move, my job is to acknowledge him. I think I'll just let him take care of that path over there. Get back on your side of the wall and quit playing God. Would you bow your heads, please?